verses 1 through 6.
Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God.
Okay, so Moses is pasturing the flock one day near Horeb, which is another name for Mount Sinai. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And I want to say something about the angel of the Lord. Just something for you to think about, really. I'm not going to be dogmatic about this at all, but I would like for you to consider at least this concept. There are a number of times when the angel of the Lord is speaking for the Lord in such a way that it will just say, the Lord said, or the Lord did. And so talking about the angel of the Lord blends into just talking about the Lord himself. A lot of people have taken that as an indication that the angel of the Lord either is some sort of personification of God himself, or maybe is a pre-incarnate Jesus. Let me suggest one passage for you. This happened some other times too, but 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 12. I want you to listen to this and just think about it for a second. Then Abner sent messengers to David in his place, saying, these are the messengers of Abner that are speaking to David. Whose is the land? Make your covenant with me, and behold, my hand shall be with you to bring all Israel over to you. He said, good, I will make a covenant with you, but I demand one thing of you, namely, you shall not see my face unless you first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see me. Now, what I want you to see is that when Abner sends the messengers speak like they were Abner, and David speaks back to them like they were Abner. A messenger speaks in the place of the person that he's representing to the point where it sort of merges the identity. I want to suggest the possibility, at least, that the angel of the Lord may be in the same situation. The angel of the Lord perfectly represents the Lord. It's natural that a messenger begins to speak like the person he's representing, and people treat him like the one he's representing. That's just something for you to think about. But at any rate, what's weird about this bush? Yeah, ever seen anything like that? Usually fire burns stuff up, but this isn't doing that, so Moses, let's get a little closer and see what's going on here. And the Lord spoke to him, saying, Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. And what does God say to Moses? Take your shoes off. Why?
Holy ground.
This is holy ground. What made it holy ground? God being there. So we get a little bit of a lesson in divine etiquette. If you're in the presence of God, you have to take your shoes off. And you may have noticed, we may look at this a little, maybe on Wednesday, there was no footwear for the priests. As far as we know, they served without shoes on, without sandals on. Why that's true, I'm not really sure. But that seems to have been a consistent pattern There's a passage, I believe, also in Joshua 5 that does the same thing. And so this is God's way of perhaps getting Moses' attention. And he says, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, can you imagine pasturing the sheep one day and running into the Lord? Well, the angel of the Lord representing the Lord. And his presence being so closely identified, you have to take shoes off because it's holy ground. That would be quite a day. Probably not what he was expecting that day. And this is just the introduction into the instructions now that God's got for Moses. Comments and questions. Yes, JD.
Something I read once said, you know, why do you wear shoes? This is on the why you take off shoes in God's presence. Wear shoes to protect you from things or to keep your feet clean. And so the idea before God is you don't need anything to, you know, keep you from something unsafe, and I don't know, maybe there's nothing dirty in God's presence, something like that.
Okay, maybe so. I haven't really thought through the reasons, but that's as good as anything I've got. So, other thoughts? All right, 7 to 10.
The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry of the taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me. And I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed me. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
Okay. God says in verse 7 what? Yeah, I've seen your oppression. I've seen your suffering. I know what you're going through. And in verse 8, he gives Moses the good news and the bad news. What's the good news? I'm going to deliver you and bring you to a wonderful land. Good, spacious, flowing with milk and honey. What's the bad news? Well, that too. There are people there already. And the land's inhabited by various nations. That's going to be the problem. But he's going to bring them, and Moses is the one. I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. One of the things that you see so much in God is his compassion, and then God acting upon his compassion. You see that God really cared about his people, and that God was willing to deliver them. And all of a sudden, at 80 years old, Moses finds out he is to be the one to deliver his people. Comments and questions?
We always need to be ready for that call. He was ready 40 years ago, maybe in the prime of his life. Maybe he would have said, why couldn't you have asked me to do this 40 years ago? I was ready then. We'll see the excuses that he comes up with to try to get out of it. But I think we do have a good intention in mind. But to do God's will, we always have to be ready to do it in his time.
Amen. Good point. Other thoughts? Okay, I think that we will take a break at this point. We've done well in this. Think I can just close this off. Michael already gave some analysis.